Previously on the Skip and Josh Sports Show.
I did watch all the highlights from all the important games, so I feel that I'm qualified to give opinions on certain things.
I like your disclosure. I haven't watched anything. I'm ready to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're listening to the Skip and Josh Sports Show.
Just wanted to remind everybody, you know, why we're doing this podcast, and like I'm sure Josh will agree, this is not the show to listen to get scores, stats, average stuff that you can get just by Googling or going on the ESPN.com, TSN, whatever. This is a conversation between myself and Josh, you know, whatever happens to be on our mind, you know, that's what we're going to talk about that day. So, you know, the first thing I really wanted to talk about is the World Series, because I find the baseball playoffs just like, I can't not watch it. It's so, so captivating. Like, the baseball playoffs are so, it's just a fantastic 6 weeks, you know, of baseball. Even though the regular season seems so long, it seems like the playoffs, you just can't get enough of it. So I don't know, did you watch any of the game last night? Not very much of it.
I actually...
I
had a prior engagement. I was out last night for Halloween. I got home late, and I know that these games run long, so I figured, okay, I'll turn on the TV and see if it's still on. And I turned it on, and there were two outs in the bottom of the ninth, so I got to see the last out.
Yeah.
But I did see the highlights. So
Francona is really a master. I don't know if he's lucky. I don't know if he's getting lucky. I don't know if it's just the bats are silent at the right time, but everything Francona does, it works out. You know, he took out his pitcher in the fifth inning. Tomlin only pitched like 4 2/3. Then he starts bringing in the bullpen. He brings in this guy. He brings in that guy. Brings in Andrew Miller earlier, much earlier than normal. And actually, it was a little bit of battle of wits because Cleveland was threatening. And Miller came up, so they had to take him out. They actually pinch hit for him. So there goes Andrew Miller, right? So they bring in this guy, Brian Shaw. The Cubs just couldn't hit. They just couldn't hit. Then finally they bring in Allen, the closer. And the Cubs threatened. I really, really felt that they were going to tie it up. They've been so clutch, right? Especially the guys that were up in those clutch situations, like Baez, you know, like he's been so clutch for them that I was like almost shocked that he didn't come through. But you know, the Indians, they have like, what do they have already, like 5 shutouts in the playoffs so far?
Yeah, their pitching has been.
I mean, everything
unbelievable,
he does,
especially considering 2 of their top 3 starters are out for the year.
No, everything he does is gold. You know, like, no matter who he brings in, he gets them out. I mean, Miller is such a weapon for them, and you know, they scrapped one. You know, they scrapped together one run. And Coco Crisp was the man who came up with the pinch hit. It was when they pinch hit for Miller, Coco Crisp got the big hit to drive in the run. So.
And he didn't start yesterday.
No, he doesn't usually start. They're happy with, you know, their other guys. I mean, you know, you mentioned that they're missing 2 of their starters. They're also missing Brantley, who's technically their best hitter, you know, who they thought was going to be okay this year. And he's tried to start the season, and then he just ended up on the DL, and they had to shut him down. I don't know if he's ever going to come back, that guy, but... And I felt bad for the Cubs fans because it was a great atmosphere. I mean, you didn't see the whole thing. It was such a great atmosphere in Wrigley Field. They just kept showing everything, this, you know, the fans and everything. Bill Murray sang the Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And it was funny and great all at once. And I don't know. It's just I find it hard to believe the Cubs are in a hole right now, down 2-1, because they seem like, on paper, they're such a stronger team. But I like Cleveland's trying to show us, the game is not played on paper, right?
Yeah, I mean, I am surprised that the Cubs are down in the series, and I do hope that the Cubs win tonight because, well, first of all, I want the Cubs to win,
yeah.
But also I want it to be a series. I don't want it to be 3-1 and everyone's talking about, oh, the series is over.
Yeah.
I kind of want it to go 7 games.
Me too. Short series is terrible. I want this thing to go on forever.
Yeah, because once the series is over, there's no more baseball until April.
Yeah.
Well, no more meaningful baseball.
So it's tonight. It's tonight then, and it's interesting because Francona's going with Kluber.
Yeah, because they only have a three-man rotation. Although, this is what I didn't understand. Merritt pitched so well against the Jays.
I was thinking that too.
He's not even going to give him a chance to pitch again?
Maybe if he needs him in long relief, or maybe, not sure. But Kluber's going tonight, and Madden's going with Lackey, which may seem like a mismatch for the Indians, but you can never count out John Lackey, honestly. He comes up with big games. He's the ultimate competitor. And Kluber is kind of hittable. We'll see how he's on short rest. I mean, the thing with Cleveland is they're walking like a very thin little tightrope now, right? Because now they're coming back with their ace on 3 days rest. And Miller's pitched 2 innings yesterday. And Allen pitched more than an inning yesterday. So the bullpen is really overused. And they're going with a starter that I don't know how long he can go. So, because on the short rest. So
maybe plan B, if Kluber can't go the whole way,
maybe Merritt.
Maybe yeah. Merritt will come out of the bullpen in the fourth or fifth inning or something like that.
And you should have seen when Schwarber pinch hit. Whoa, the fans were going mental. I heard that Schwarber was going to play in the World Series, I fell off my chair. You know, in our fantasy baseball, I built my whole team around this guy. I told you, the only guy I wanted to get was Kyle Schwarber. He's the only guy I wanted to get in fantasy. I didn't care about anybody else prior to the draft way back in March, April. And because he's catcher eligible, so it's like a huge advantage. And then, of course, he had 4 at-bats, and then he got injured out for the year. So there goes my whole season in fantasy baseball. But when I heard that he was on the postseason roster for the World Series, I was like, no, this is a joke, right? But they DH'd him, and he's a threat. I mean, the guy's a threat. He's a professional hitter with a ton of power, a great eye, and they have an advantage when he's in there at DH. So,
did you see the video that came out about him? Actually, not about him. Like, he's in it, and so are some of the other Cubs players. He was, you should Google it. You'll find it's probably the first thing that you'll find. When he was in high school, he was... I don't know. It was some kind of music thing that he did, performance.
Really?
With the rest of his classmates in high school. So he sang and he danced in high school. And then I guess someone found this and posted it somewhere. So then the Cubs decided to recreate it.
Oh, my God.
So there's not all the Cubs players, but there are a few Cubs players. And they're all wearing the same, like, or a similar pink and purple outfit that he was wearing when he was in high school. And he's in it too at the end. So it's actually quite funny. And it's got, I don't know how many hits on the internet already, but it's got a lot.
What's crazy with him is that he worked really hard to come back. And they said he couldn't actually swing the bat. Like, his knee was still not stable enough. All he was doing was standing in the batting cage and visualizing how he was going to hit. Like, the pitchers are coming in and he's just visualizing. He's just standing there with a bat, not swinging. And he did like 1,000 pitches a day just visualizing how he was going to swing. So it's pretty crazy, you know, that he hasn't swung the bat the whole year, no minor leagues, no nothing, and he comes in cold right into the World Series, and he's our most dangerous hitter. The thing with the Cubs is that, I said they have a better lineup and everything, but Rizzo and Bryant are really, like, struggling, especially Bryant. Yesterday he looked kind of lost. Rizzo did have a big hit in the ninth inning. He led off that ninth inning with a hit that started that rally that kind of kept, you know, gave them a little bit of hope, but...
Yeah, what I don't understand, I mean, I kind of do and I kind of don't, but Schwarber obviously not playing in the games that are in Chicago because he can't play in the field.
Yeah.
But is it really more difficult to play in the field than it is to swing a bat?
I thought of that yesterday because he does have to run the bases, so he can obviously run.
Yes, and not only that.
The
like
doctors, Theo Epstein, they interviewed him about it.
You use your entire body when you're taking a swing.
They interviewed Theo Epstein about it, and he said the doctor hasn't cleared him for fielding. And it's because of the stopping and starting, they said. And the thing is, he sucks in the field anyways. He can't even play the outfield. And I think a lot of it is also, you know, he got injured in the field, right? He got injured in a collision in left field. That's how he got hurt. So I think it's a little bit maybe too much to ask for him to play the outfield. Although, maybe if they're desperate, he's going to, right?
Well, I mean, they shouldn't really need him. They did have 103 wins without him.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah, I know that
it's
right.
nice to have
you're
him
right.
off the bench and have him as a DH in Cleveland. You know, that should be enough.
The thing is, yesterday with Joe Maddon, there's one thing that he did at the end. You'll notice you said you saw the last batter. It was Jason Hayward, right? Mm-hmm. The guy literally can't hit. He can't hit. He is struggling so badly that they benched him yesterday because he sucks. So they put in that guy Soler. He played right field. But when Soler's spot in the batting order came up, they pinch hit with Hayward. And I was like, I know me and you have talked about this for 20 years. You know, if the guy's in your starting lineup, obviously you think he's better than the guys on your bench. So why don't you just let him hit?
Yeah, it's the lefty-righty thing.
I guess he thought it's the lefty-righty thing, but I mean, God, you know, Hayward, it's like, when he came up, I really had no hope that he was going to get a hit. I was thinking, oh my God, the only way he's going to get a hit is because it's some kind of miracle and the Cubs are destined and all this, and he's going to be the hero and it's going to be such a great story, you know, the guy that went from the bench and he's going to get a pinch hit. But
He hit a hard grounder to Napoli who bobbled it and he was safe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then Baez was up after. But I just couldn't believe that that they pinch hit with him. Like the guy who's struggling the most, yeah, why don't you go up and do it, you know? So that's the World Series. I'm looking forward to tonight's game. And hopefully, like you said, hopefully it's going to be a long series.
Speaking of the World Series, I don't want to get off this topic just yet. The best thing that happened in the first three games of the series so far is that in game two, because there was a chance of rain, they decided to start the game an hour early.
I knew you would love that.
And let me tell you something. Starting a game at 7 o'clock, that's not even early. That's normal as far as I'm concerned. And I realize that it's 4 in the afternoon on the West Coast. And I also realize that television dictates everything when it comes to dates and start times. But, you know, these games should always start at 7 o'clock, especially now that the games last 4 hours. Because it's how do you expect... I would imagine that Major League Baseball wants young kids to enjoy the game, to like the game, to watch the game, because they're the future. And so if you're starting games at 8 o'clock and they're finishing at midnight, these kids might get to watch maybe 3 innings of a game if it starts at 8 o'clock. Even at 7 o'clock, the kids will have to go to bed before it's done. But I remember a time, I think
there was day games in the World Series.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly. And I get it. More people watch television at night than during the day. I get it, and I understand why they do it. But do you not want any kids to be watching these games? Even for adults, sometimes it's difficult to stay up that late if you have work the next day or whatever.
100%.
So the fact that they were forced to, and I put forced in quotations, to start game two at 7 o'clock, that to me was amazing. And I wish every game was at 7 o'clock me or too. Even earlier.
Me too. And you know what? Baseball, like, they're obviously doing well attendance-wise. I mean, like, it's 162 games, right? The stadiums are mostly full every day, you know, like in every park, you know, we're not talking about many franchises that are struggling. So attendance is fine. But baseball, I think in terms of attendance, is more an event. You know, you go there to sit and enjoy and be outside and everything. But like you said, the kids aren't watching and the Major League Baseball is not going to feel the impact of this bad decision until a whole generation. So we're talking about in 20 years from now. You know, right now, kids don't watch baseball. Baseball's too slow. Baseball is too boring. And it's on way too late. So they're missing a generation now of fans. And they're not going to find out that those fans are not watching until maybe it's too late.
The Skip and Josh Sports Show. They don't take your calls.
Have you been watching a lot of hockey? I mean, I mostly watch the Habs games. They're off to this retarded start again. Like, it's crazy. And they just keep finding ways to win and win and win. So it's like, for Habs fans, it's great. But I mean, I know here in Montreal, like, for me, everyone's going crazy here. But for me, I'm like, I think there's a lot of fans like me that are like, we've seen this story before, you know?
Yeah, the great start means nothing. Last year, they were off to an even better start. And it meant nothing. And you saw what happened. So I'm not going to make any sweeping statements until after the Canadiens have played 20 games or more.
Yeah. That's the Bob McKenzie rule. actually.
Is it the Bob McKenzie rule?
Yeah, he always talks about how you can't make any judgments until at least 20 games.
Well, that's, you know, the one quarter point of the season, right?
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
But
it's pretty crazy. They have 29 goals for 13 against. They have 15 points out of possible 16. It's like, it's mental.
So, but also, I mean, other than the Bruins, how many good teams have they played?
Well, they played Tampa last game and they won. So that was a statement. But you're right. Up till then, and the Bruins aren't good, by the way. Like,
yeah,
the Bruins
they're not
right
good.
Now are under five. Well, the problem with the Bruins is Rask is injured, so they literally have no backup goalie. Like, they're exposed right now, like the Canadians were last year. Their backup goaltender is terrible, can't stop anything. So,
look, I mean, I'll say this. I when the Shea Weber PK Subban deal was announced, I wasn't sure. Like, if you had forced me to say whether I liked it or not on the day it happened,
yeah,
I probably would have said I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I realize Shea Weber's an excellent defenseman. I realize he's an all-star. I realize he plays for Team Canada every time there's an international tournament. And in the last, I don't know, 10 years, how many times has he been the top scoring defenseman or one of the top scoring defensemen? So you're obviously not getting a bad player. There's no question about that.
Right.
You know, talk to me again in 2 or 3 years from now when Weber's old and Subban's in his prime or whatever.
Right.
So I wasn't sold on the trade. Now it seems like, and again, it's way too early to be making any judgments, but now it seems like people are starting to forget about Subban because Weber has been playing great. He's been exceeding expectations as far as I'm concerned. But again, it's not even 10 games into the season, so...
No, because the thing with Subban, everyone loved him, and it was a shock, and, you know, people will accept him, and they didn't have a chance to turn the page because we went the whole summer without hockey, so all people did was just cry in their soup about Subban, oh, how much they miss him, and how much of a bad trade it was, and how much the organization sucks, and everybody complained and complained and complained. Meanwhile, they don't realize that we got this great player, right?
Yeah.
So then... There was no he didn't play in the preseason at all. He played one preseason game because he was in the World Cup of Hockey. And so I don't know how much people watched that. And so finally he's really making his mark. And he's on fire. I mean, he's literally on fire. On the power play, he's leading the league in everything, the guy, right? So
not a bad guy to have on your team.
No, of course. I mean, look, we always knew he was a great player. And the proof for this trade will be in like 4 years from now when Weber's getting... old. Well, he's already starting to, and when he's really like when he hits 34 35, and Subban is still, you know, still going strong, right? That's where a lot of people didn't like the trade. And
right, and if you're thinking, I mean, not you personally, but people are thinking that the Canadians want to take advantage of the Carey Price window for winning the Stanley Cup, you know,
then they gotta go for it. Yeah,
they gotta go for it.
Yeah, I think that the very quietly they don't talk about it, the Habs organization, but that is their thinking. They're like, we have this great goalie, he's a kind of generational goaltender, and we need to go for it now, right? So I don't know who the UFAs are at the trade deadline this year. There's always some big targets, and I wouldn't be surprised if Bergevin is going to be incredibly active to try to really, really go for it this year.
Right, and of course it depends.
Assuming they're not in last place by the trade deadline like they were last year.
Where they are in the standings, you know, when it comes time to make those trades. Sticking with hockey, you don't live in Toronto like I do, and ever since this new hockey deal was announced 2 or 3 years ago, I used to get every single Canadiens game on RDS, but now all the RDS games are blacked out here. And so I don't get them anymore. So I only get about 20 or so of the Canadiens games. But for some reason, there have been a bunch of games on RDS this year, and I've gotten all of them, even though it says on the guide that the game is blacked out, you know, in the western, southwestern part of Ontario, which is where I live.
You still get it.
I still get it. Like, there hasn't been one Habs game that I have not gotten yet. So I don't understand why that's happening. I'm not complaining. I'm obviously happy about it. I don't know if it's just like someone is forgetting to flip a switch or something like that. I have no idea what it is.
It's pretty crazy.
But I'm just...
It's pretty crazy that you don't know why. Because usually something like this will happen. And like, if anybody's going to figure out things to do with TV and stuff like that and broadcasts, you're the one, right? If you don't know, then nobody knows.
Yeah, and usually I find out, or that you'll see someone talk about it on a message board or something.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, I'm not complaining. We'll see how long it lasts. Maybe it's just like for the first month of the season, they're doing something like
this. Yeah, but why would they do that? Usually they do. Usually, yeah, free preview. Free preview of what? Oh, because you have to subscribe to RDS? Is that it?
Yeah, well, I do.
But still blacked out, so a free preview wouldn't give you anything. Free previews to try to suck you in to get you say, hey, look at this great stuff. By the way, you're losing it in a week, right?
Yeah, and so maybe that's what it is instead. But maybe they're just doing it for a month instead of a week. So right. The entire month of October, like we'll see the first game in November. Maybe I won't get it anymore. I don't know.
Wow, crazy.
The other thing I wanted to mention to you, I watched a bit of the Canadiens game against the Islanders.
Yeah.
And honestly, I thought I was watching one of those international games that were being played in Switzerland or something like that. There's a car in like the first or second row of the stands behind the glass.
only in the Barclay Center.
Like, what is that? Like,
I don't know, that's
so Bush League, if you ask me.
They probably can't sell the most expensive seat, so they say they might as well sell advertising for a car dealership.
That's insane. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
They'll and there's get money even another. They can.
There's even another like next to the car, not necessarily in the behind the net, but more like sort of near the blue line, there's this huge Islanders logo that covers about, I don't know, at least 25 or 50 seats.
Oh, God.
Just covering, and maybe there's no seats under there. I don't know. So I don't know if that logo, they put it there just to cover something that doesn't look good.
It probably is.
And it's on both sides of the rink. And it's like, do they not have seats there, or could they just not sell those seats? Anyway, it just seems very strange to me watching that game. I had to do a double take. It was weird.
I'm going to check that out next time. I'm going to have to watch some Islanders, get my Islanders games on.
Yes, you'll have to sign up for NHL Center Ice.
Yeah, right. There's so much hockey on all the time, just on the regular channels. I don't know. I don't think I need that. Although, no. I mean, some people, my neighbor does, and told me I should come over anytime I want to watch some random NHL games.
Right. I mean, if you're a big Nashville Predators fan now and you want to get all their games, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know.
So Habs Leafs tonight.
Oh, is it Habs Leafs tonight? I didn't even know.
It's the Austin Matthews show.
In Montreal.
Yeah.
It should be interesting. Does Matthews still have, is he still stuck on 5 goals?
I'm looking at the stats now. He has 6 goals. He's second in the league in scoring. 6 goals, 4 assists.
Okay.
Well, I mean, 4 of them were in the first game. McDavid's leading the league in scoring.
Right. So Matthews has been slumping ever since game one, basically.
The Oilers are doing great. You know, McDavid may have transformed them. They're first in the West.
There you go. I mean, when they had all those first overall picks all those years in a row.
They didn't need any of them. None of those guys are even good now.
Well, some of them are still good, but yeah. I mean, you had to think, oh, this team's going to be amazing for a decade with all these young guys.
Yeah.
And they still sucked until now.
And it's funny, they traded Taylor Hall for Larson. I think everybody scratched their head when that happened.
But, and they traded Nail Yakupov.
It seems to have, Yakupov, they just kind of got rid of him. But it seemed to have solidified their defense, getting like a kind of solid stay-at-home defenseman, you know, and in Larson, and they have plenty of scoring to go around. I mean, McDavid is just, it's funny because you say, oh, they got all those number one picks, but I mean, McDavid is just like, I mean, he's the generational player, you know, he's the one, like he's the next superstar, you know, so.
Their starting goaltender, Cam Talbot, who, you know, I know he was a backup on the Rangers, I guess, for a few years or something.
Yeah.
I never thought he'd be a number one goalie anywhere.
Still might not be. He might just going through a hot streak. You never know.
Yeah, but he's playing well. That's part of the reason why they're doing so well.
Yeah.
And I mean, you say that the other draft picks aren't important, but Eberle's still a good player, and Nugent Hopkins is still a good player. You know, those guys are good players. You need to have those guys on the team. You can't just be one guy.
And you know, Nashville's 13th out of 14th in the West.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Everyone thought, oh, Subban, he's going to run wild and everything. Who knows? You never know. People, the guys, you know, people talk, and you know, no one knows. Does anybody know? No one knows. Games are played on the ice. The games are played on the field. You know, everyone thought the Cubs were going to win. Cubs were going to win 4 or 5. Now look, now their backs are against the wall, right?
Hi there. Skip and Josh will be right back. To get in touch with them, you can send them an email to skipandjoshshow@gmail.com. You can follow them on Twitter @skipandjosh, and you can visit their website at www.skipandjosh.com. And now, back to the show.
How did I do in the NFL pick'em pool last week?
So it was our first week going head to head in the pigskin pick'em.
Yeah.
And I'll remind everyone that I did this alone a couple of weeks ago for week six. And in week six, I only had four correct picks out of the whole week. So pretty bad.
Pretty bad. Pretty bad.
But in week seven, I bounced back and I had eight correct picks. So that's pretty good, in my opinion.
Yeah, sure. It's great.
It was your first week doing it, and you had six correct picks.
Ooh, I'm on fire.
So I'm up 8-6 head-to-head with you in the Pigskin Pick'em, and I've made my picks for this week already. In fact, I'm 1-0 already because I got the Thursday night game right.
Right.
But also of importance is we played head-to-head last week in fantasy.
Oh, you don't even tell me.
And you're talking about a matchup between the two worst teams.
Well, the worst team and another bad team, but my team's the worst team.
So I just
want to kill Todd Gurley. I don't understand. Like, I fall in the same trap every year in stupid fantasy football.
Well, first of all, you did get 95 points in fantasy last week, so not necessarily a bad week.
Yeah.
I just happened to have a really good week finally, so I had 106, and so I won the game. Anyway, I'm in second to last place. You're in last place.
I made wholesale changes this week. Picked up guys, dropped guys, trying to like shake up my team.
Well, you have to. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, well,
Basically have to win every game the rest of the year.
Plus, my guys all suck, so replacing them with guys off the scrap heap is going to probably be, it's not going to be any worse.
But there were some good guys in the pile, and there was a really good player that I wanted to pick up, and I didn't do it, and now I'm kicking myself.
Who's
for
that?
The Denver Broncos' new running back,
yeah.
C.J. Anderson, yeah, looks like he's going to be out for the year.
I understand that Denver wins games. It's ridiculous.
Well, they just play a sound, you know.
Their defense is so strong.
They play the neutral zone trap.
No, they have a great defense, and they try to score how they can, you know.
By the way,
are you going to be waking up early tomorrow to watch that Redskins-Bengals game in London?
I will be awake. I will not watch the game.
I
actually watch very little football, just so you know. I can't sit through an entire football game. It's quite boring.
Right.
I was watching last week the Sunday night game, but luckily I only turned it on in the fourth quarter because that was the game that ended 6-6.
Right.
And if I had sat through the whole thing, I would have fallen asleep in, you know, before halftime. But it's rare these days that I watch any sport and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. Because I've seen quite a lot of things in my...
God moments don't happen very often.
They don't happen very often.
Yeah.
But like in this crappy 6-6 game, twice in that game, I said, oh my God, I can't believe it.
Well,
missed
field goals.
Exactly.
I mean,
both of them.
Ridiculous.
Like, first of all, I could not believe the first missed field goal. And you have to rewind a few plays because...
Oh, he was 1 millimeter away from scoring.
Exactly. They had two chances to get a touchdown literally seconds before that
field. His toe hit the pylon. Like,
yeah. And even the play before that where I forget who the receiver was had like a huge yards after the catch.
Yeah.
He almost scored.
But did you hear the Arians, the Arizona coach after the game? I thought we played a great game, offense, defense. The only thing that let us down was the kicking game. It's like, man, throw your kicker under the bus. And then he said it again. And then he went on to say like, oh, you know, we ran the ball well. Carson threw the ball well. Carson didn't throw the ball well. They only scored 6 points.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what do you mean your offense was doing well? You couldn't even do anything.
Well, I mean, both those teams have good defense.
Well,
so I guess
they do. Both those teams have good defenses. You're right.
So I guess you expected a low-scoring game, but no one wants to see a 6-6 game.
Yeah.
But when the first guy, when the Arizona, Catanzaro, when he missed the field goal, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what? I thought for sure the game was over.
I know, and then when Hauschka misses at the end, it's almost like you can't even believe it that it's happening.
That was even crazier because I thought, okay, Arizona blew it. Seattle's going to win this game now, and he missed. So twice in that game, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it.
Yeah. I agree. It was nuts. And you know what's great about this week in football?
What?
Last week I told you, God, the games are bad. One bad game after another. One bad game after another. It wasn't even worth watching last week. It's a loaded schedule this week with some great games. You have Seahawks-Saints. I know it doesn't sound great, but I mean, it's still like a great defense and a great offense. Cardinals Panthers. The Panthers are basically fighting for their lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have Bills Patriots, which is almost always interesting, right? With the two coaches. Broncos Chargers. Like, I know that sounds weird that I'm saying Broncos Chargers is a good game, but the Chargers are the most exciting team in the NFL right now.
Well, that's because
they should be undefeated. These guys,
Philip Rivers throws a ton. I like quarterbacks that throw a lot.
They found ways to lose games at the beginning, and now all of a sudden they're finding ways to win. You know, Packers Falcons. I don't know. Like, Packers are a bit of a weird team. They're high profile, but they kind of suck. So that could be really kind of high scoring. And then the big game in our house, which is the Eagles Cowboys.
Uh oh.
Yeah, you know it.
That actually is the first, I think, good Sunday night game this season.
You know, I know. And let me tell you something. We were supposed to have some family plans on Sunday night.
Oh, you got to reschedule.
And my son told my wife, there's a game on at 8:30, and I'm not missing any of it. So
what did your wife say?
It's okay. You know, we're at the in-laws' house. Everything, you know, would work out. We'd be able to watch there and then probably leave at halftime. It probably would have all been fine.
Is it someone's birthday?
No, it was like my wife and her sister's birthday last week. So
Right.
Yeah. So now, because of circumstances, because, you know, trying to get everybody together, we're actually going on Sunday afternoon. So when we found out we were going on Sunday afternoon, Matthew was thrilled because, you know, now we can watch the game, like, legit on our TV, you know, focus on it.
I wish I was your son's age again, because you schedule your whole life around the
football,
stuff.
Of course.
Whereas now, when you're an adult, you have a million things going
harder,
on.
Yeah.
And if you have time to watch, like, one quarter of the game, you're lucky.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I agree. So it should be interesting. It's like possibly the two big quarterbacks of the future, you know, Wentz and Dak Prescott, and Cowboys are on a huge roll. So Eagles are managing to win games. I don't know how they're doing it. They kind of, their offense is really, I don't know. I'm pulling for the Eagles, but the Cowboys to me seem like stronger, you know, like the games won on the line. The games are won on the offensive and defensive line, and the Cowboys have a great offensive line. I think they're just going to run the ball, and I don't know if the Eagles are going to be able to stop it. We'll see.
All right. Did you, don't forget to make your picks for Pigskin.
I'm going
to
do that right after we get off this call.
Okay.
Although it's pretty random. I think I could just flip a coin for each one. Yeah.
I was listening to Jaws makes his picks every week.
Yeah.
And I disagree with like half of them.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have a good record this year.
He doesn't, but last week he did, actually.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a good record this year, but last week he did have a good record.
Right.
The Skip and Josh Sports Show is back.
Last episode, you talked about what's bugging you.
Yes, what's bugging
and
you.
And I think when we conceived this this show, it was always supposed to be, you know, the what's bugging me segment was going to be what's bugging you, since there's a lot more things bugging you than bugging me. But there's something really bugging me this week, and it's crossing over into several sports.
You're kidding me? Boy, are you bugging me, man? I'm going to nail. I'm getting bugged now. Whoa, man.
The quality of announcers is pathetic.
I know what you mean.
The NFL, they're wondering why the ratings are bad, and I don't think you can pinpoint one reason why. It's the elections going on in the U.S. The game is all the penalties, you know, bad matchups. Maybe the league is watered down in terms of, like, there's no one big or two big teams. You know, there's too much parity. There's a million reasons why. But let me tell you, having pathetic color commentators does not help. I mean, I was watching last week, and it was Troy Aikman. This guy, I mean, this guy should not be on television. I mean,
and he's, I think, on their A-team.
He's on their A-team, but he literally has nothing constructive to say. You know, there's a play, and then he'll be like, he just basically repeats what you've just seen. There's no insight. There's no breaking down of, like, what happened, you know, a block here, a block there. He just talks random nonsense. Literally, random nonsense comes out of his mouth, and they expect, I think I guess they expect the viewers to like be dumbed down, that they're gonna be like, oh, it's Troy Aikman, he must know what he's talking about. He has no clue what he's talking about, this guy.
Now, in the case of football, yeah, they do have, I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but
there's a lot of games.
There's a lot of games going on
at the same time. But Troy Aikman's on their A team, and he's the worst one.
Right. But I mean, when you have so many games going on at the same time, even if you had like an A team, they could only do one game.
Yeah.
So this is why you've got like a B team, a C team, a D team, an E team, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And so you're going to, depending on what game you're watching, you might not get the best announcers.
Yeah.
But you're right. Troy Aikman is on
the A-team. They have to say insightful things. They can't just repeat like what you've just seen and say, oh, that was a really nice play. Like, we know it was a really nice play. But tell us why. Break it down a little bit. You know, show us something. If he just... I can't handle him.
All right.
So that's what's bugging me.
Well, I'm glad you were able to get that off your chest.
Yeah, me too. Next time, we'll see what's bugging you.
Okay, great.
All right, so I mean, I guess that's the end of the show for today, and I guess I'm gonna watch Habs Leafs tonight, switching back and forth between the World Series, and we'll probably have plenty to talk about on the next episode.
Yeah, there's Habs Leafs tonight. There's the World Series tonight. There's a World Series tomorrow. There's football all day tomorrow. So next time we chat, we'll definitely have a bunch of things to talk about.
Very cool. All right,
love it.
Catch you later.
The Skip and Josh Sports Show is over now. Don't worry, there'll be another episode soon.